The new book, Goddess of Anarchy, recounts the formidable life of the militant writer, orator, and agitator Lucy Parsons. Born to an enslaved woman in Virginia in 1851 and raised in Texas, where she met her husband, the Haymarket martyr Albert Parsons, Lucy was a fearless advocate of First Amendment rights, a champion of the working classes, and one of the most prominent figures of African descent of her era. And yet her life was riddled with contradictions. She advocated violence without apology, concocted a Hispanic Indian identity for herself, and ignored the plight of African Americans. Jacqueline Jones holds the Ellen Temple Chair in Women's History and the Maston Gentry White Professorship in Southern History at the University of Texas at Austin. We welcome Jacqueline Jones to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Again, the name of the new book is Goddess of Anarchy. What brought you to the life of Lucy Parsons?
I had heard about Lucy Parsons, and I knew that she was the wife and then the widow of Albert Parsons, who was executed for his alleged role in the Haymarket bombing of May 1886 in Chicago. But I didn't know that much about her as an orator in her own right, as an agitator, an editor, a writer, and a little research actually revealed a very rich history of Lucy Parsons, who was a celebrity in her own time. She was followed obsessively by the mainstream press. So a very interesting figure, certainly. Not much was known about her early years. I did find that she was born to an enslaved woman. She always denied that she had been born a slave. She claimed that she was part Indian and part Hispanic. So just a really intriguing figure. Again, someone who was very well known in her own time, and yet not many people today have heard of her.
What does it say about the fact that she changed her birth story? In the sense of, what does that say about her?
I think she felt that if people knew she was of African descent, she would lack credibility. I must stress that she traveled all over the country. She was a very popular speaker. She addressed large audiences from coast to coast. She was a well-known champion of the laboring classes. And I think she felt that since her origins were unknown to people, and since her physical appearance did not give away any particular identity, that she could just fashion a whole new life story for herself, and in the process, again, make herself more credible to these large audiences who might not have really wanted to attend a lecture by an African-American woman. But since, again, she hid that identity, she became very popular, again, from coast to coast.
That is what is so interesting about this story. One of the things that's so interesting about this story is how mysterious her private life is, and yet how fiery and open she was in that public persona.
Yes, and she actually claimed that her private life was irrelevant to her political activism. She said, you know, no one cares about me, about my background. They only care about my ideas, and they care about my vision for a just society. But she was mistaken in that. The people did really, they were very interested in who she was as a private person. She led a very interesting private life. Although she presented herself as a very prim Victorian wife and mother, she had several lovers, and again, believed that that was no one's business but her own.
When did she start to become a figure, to become somebody who started to speak out?
Really, it wasn't until her husband was incarcerated. He was arrested in June of 1886 for, again, a bombing in Chicago's Haymarket Square that claimed the lives of seven policemen and several other people. He was put into jail and remained there until his execution in November of 1887. Between the time he was incarcerated and his execution, Lucy Parsons really emerged into the public sphere as a speaker in her own right. She did several tours, speaking tours around the country, in an effort to raise money for the defense of Albert and his co-defendants. So it's really during this period, 1886-1887, that she emerges into the public eye. I will say that she had, before that time, however, written for The Socialist, which was a paper published in Chicago. She wrote for her husband's paper called The Alarm, also published in Chicago, this in the early 1880s. So among radicals in Chicago, I think she was well known by the early, mid-1880s. It's not until 1886 or so that a national audience really begins to pay attention to her.
One of the things that you point out in the book is that she was impressive even to those people who were hostile to her. Even her quote-unquote enemies were impressed by her skills.
Yes, she was a fabulous speaker by all accounts, and I devote a whole chapter in the book to her speaking tours of 1886-87, which were covered very closely by reporters and editors from the mainstream press. The reporters who were there when she spoke talked about her eloquence, her poise, her physical appearance. She was, by all accounts, very beautiful. She was a fiery speaker. In fact, some of the imagery kind of evokes the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. She was a firebrand, delivering incendiary remarks in a fiery way. Those are some of the terms used to describe her. And she held her audience in thrall for 2 hours, 3 hours at a time, as she denounced the capitalists and their lackeys, the police, as she called for justice for the Haymarket martyrs. So she was really, again, in a day and age where there were no other forms of media, she was a very popular attraction in her own right because of her great speaking skills.
What impact do you think she had, lasting impact that she had?
I'm not sure that she had much of a lasting impact other than her determination to keep alive the flame of Haymarket. She decided after her husband's death that she was going to keep alive this sense that the American justice system was flawed, that was severely deficient. She believed, and she was correct, that her husband and his co-defendants did not receive a fair trial, that they were unfairly executed for the bombing. The actual bomb thrower was never found, and to this day remains a mystery. But she was a fierce advocate for the First Amendment. She defied police who tried to make her stop talking. I think we can trace Chicago's Red Squad, those police monitoring radical activities, back to her speeches in the 1880s and 1890s, which attracted police attention. But because she was so successful in getting people to remember Haymarket and in comparing injustices against radicals to the injustices against the Haymarket martyrs, people have forgotten her actual role, and they have concentrated on Albert Parsons and his story rather than her own.
Talk a little bit about her changing politics, of the shift from, in the beginning, a loyalty to the Republican Party, and then the transformation of her political beliefs.
She was a teenager in Waco, Texas, when she and Albert first met. And when they met, he was very active in the Republican Party. He was a Confederate veteran. He had served in the Confederate Army under his brother, General William H. Parsons. But once he got out of the service and returned to Texas, he decided he would cast his lot with the Republican Party, and specifically with an egalitarian wing of the Republican Party that sought to organize black people as voters. He was a great speaker in his own right. He was able to organize black voters and believe strongly in the tenets of the Republican Party. When he and Lucy fled to Chicago in 1873, they had married in Texas in 1872, but decided they had no future in Texas as an interracial couple, and so moved to Chicago. They became active in the Socialist Party because they settled among German immigrants in Chicago. And the German immigrant community was very receptive to them, was very happy to welcome Albert as an orator, as a proponent of socialism. He ran for office on the socialist ticket several times in the 1870s and became disillusioned by the American electoral process. He thought he could not gain a fair hearing, that the ballot box was corrupt, that he would always lose out to either a Republican or a Democrat, because those, of course, were the established parties at the time. And so he and she became more radical in the process. They decided that they would turn their backs on voting, they would denounce the ballot box, and they would embrace what they called anarchism, which was a radical view that suggested the ideal society, the just society, would emerge from small voluntary associations, especially trade unions. So they were anti-government. They opposed established institutions such as the church. And by embracing this radicalism, really set themselves apart from not only the Republicans and Democrats, but the socialists, too, who are still very committed to electoral politics.
The book is fascinating. It is entitled Goddess of Anarchy, The Life and Times of Lucy Parsons, American Radical. The book is published by Basic Books. Jacqueline Jones, a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Goddess of Anarchy. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.